Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Well, go ahead and take your seat and get your Bible out, because I'm going to share some things with you that God shared with me today, and I think you're going to like it. It's kind of fun to get to the Word of the Lord. We've had a great time in the book, if you will, of Hebrews. I've never been in a church in my life that's taken as long as it is to teach the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept in the book of Hebrews. Usually, I talked to a guy the other day. He's a pastor. He says, yeah, last 2 weeks I've been in Hebrews. I've finished the book. In 2 weeks, how do you do that, man? It is like so full of information. We've been in it for years. I don't even know how many years. I would guess at least 3 years, and we're in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Why do we do this? Line upon line, precept upon precept. We do it because we're interested in you growing to maturity. Get that. Maturity means you understand what's God and do God. Maturity means you know the difference between what is in the world and what isn't in the world, and you operate in the maturity level that God would have you to operate in. Therefore, you become the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. Until you get not just the Word of God, but until you get the very character, nature, and attributes of God. Because I don't want to teach you the Word of God without teaching you the very attributes of God, so that you can understand how it works, how it all fits together, how it all's developed. Go with me, if you will, into Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to continue our study in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, by taking a look at Abraham's life as we start to go. What's exciting about Hebrews in the 11th chapter is this is really the hall of faith or a hall of fame for God. These are people, men and women, who have so touched the heart of God that He made sure that their testimonies are held for thousands of years so you and I can look at their lives, grow by finding out what they did that was so impressive to God. And then we could change our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here in the 11th chapter, as we look at, go to verse number 8, as we look at a man by the name of Abraham, and actually when this was written about him, his name was Abram. God hadn't changed his name yet. But it says these words, and I think they're really fascinating. Let's read them together. Verse number 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place in which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. This is so bizarre. Before I give you the title of the message, let's talk about this just for a second. A lot of people think that Abraham went out because he was going to receive something from God. God told him to do it. You can see it right there. He's going to receive it as an inheritance. Therefore, he goes out. But a lot of people don't know this. Abraham was already rich. Abraham was in the land, if you will, of Ur. You'll find that Abraham was a moon worshiper. He worshiped the moon. His family had a heritage. He already had wealth, cattle, sheep, all the abundance of servants that you could possibly have, land and everything. The motive for him going out is because God spoke to him. And may I say this to you? Listen closely to what I'm going to say. A lot of people have different motives for why they do things. But when you hear the voice of the Lord and you are obedient to it, it changes everything. Here's this guy who had never heard from God before, and now he just knows that he knows that he knows that he knows. Just something like you, for an example. You know that you know that you know that you know. Nobody's going to talk you out of there's God. You know that's on the depth of your heart on the inside. And you will find oftentimes people will make this mistake of not realizing who they really are. You see, you have to understand about the life of Abraham. Abraham was not the first Jew. Judah hadn't come into existence yet. Abraham was the first Hebrew that believed in God because he heard from God. And he did something that caught the attention of God. He did a lot of things, but this one thing that caught the attention of God, I highlighted up there, is that he obeyed God. You know, I found out a lot in life. I find out people who obey God are people who get blessed. People who do not obey God, even though they call themselves Christians, keep stumbling along, keep failing in life, keep being frustrated, keep falling and getting themselves up, dusting themselves off, but never really get anywhere because they have something that stops them from living the life that God would have them to live. And my time with people over the last 40 years of teaching the Word of God, I found out something simple. A lot of people do not want to obey God. I understand that. We live in an independent country. We live in a country that celebrates individuality, our own personal ideas and philosophies, and living by them. We're a people that gather together and say, we want to do things my way. In fact, I was at a funeral not too long ago, and this pastor was up in front giving a testimony about this man who had died as a young man. He was only 22 years old. And he said the one thing he could say about him that is really good is that he lived his life doing what he wanted to do, doing it his way. And I thought to myself, what a shame. He was killed in a motorcycle accident, in a motocross thing, and it shouldn't have been that way at all. He just wanted to do his thing, his way, and that was celebrated in our society as successful. May I say this to you? Nothing could be further from the truth than that. Even though we've all been taught that, all of us been encouraged to live our individual lives, until you get hooked up with God and find out it's not your desire but His that's important. It's not your plans but His that comes to pass. It's not your want, not your will, but it's His will and His want that's important in your life. Until you get to that place in your life, you will never be successful. Deborah and I, until we finally got to the place to be obedient with God's word. We knew God's word. We had heard God's word. We had sat in church for years. And guess what? We had celebrated. We raised our hands to God. We'd given our money. But until we decided to live obediently to what God says, even though most of the time what God was saying was abrasive to us, it was contrary to our thinking. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we saw. It's not what we had planned, but we decided to put all that aside and live for God and live God's way. It's then the thing started to turn around. It's then that Deborah and I became successful. It's then that God prospered our hands, only with this word obedience. It's fascinating word. But I found out something also about people. If they understand why they should be obedient, it's a lot easier to be obedient. Let me say it again. If they understand why they should be obedient, then it's a lot easier to be obedient. Are you following me? Very important. And that's why the title of this message today is why, listen to these words, obey God. Because if you know something, I could probably give you 35 different things on reasons why to obey God. But I'm going to give you three today that you can take with you and think about through all the whole entire week. Is that all right? Here's the three things that I think that you'll really like. I love this one. Number one, things to know about God, things to know about obedience, that why we should obey God. Here's number one, Father knows best. Can I finally get to the place in my life where I finally said, I don't know what the heck I'm doing? Everything I do seems up to be a mess. Everybody I follow seems to be a mess. Every decision I make is a mess. When you finally get to the place where you've tried it all, you've done everything you can to be successful and prosperous in your life, you finally get to the place where you realize, you know what? I don't know everything. I know that God cares about me and God loves me. He's got to care about me more than anything else. And if you're over 60 years old, there used to be a television show by the name of Father Knows Best. Anybody remember that? Don't raise your hand. That tells you how old you are. And you know, this was a father in a little white family, you know, he had a bunch of kids, and every time there was a problem, the father came in and solved the problem, and father was very respected. The movie was called, or the television show back in the 50s and 60s was called Father Knows Best. I found out something about God. He knows what's best for me. And He knows what's best for you. And I found out that He only wants us to obey, not because some egotist that He needs people to worship Him, not because He's a control freak that tries to get you to do a bunch of stuff. He is a God that so cares about you and so cares about me. He knows that if I do what he wants me to do all through my life, I'm gonna get blessed, and even my children's children are gonna get blessed because God knows what's best for me. When I was a young man, a teenager, and you know how teenagers are, they can tell you they love you, they can tell you they care about you. There's two things that we all need to understand about teenagers. One, they love to sleep past the time they're supposed to. Two, they eat more than they should. And three, they don't think much of their parents when they're teenagers. And you know what I'm talking about because you probably have teenagers or you're one yourself. And during those periods of time, they're real rebellious. My father was a tough guy. Good guy, didn't know God. In fact, I led him to the Lord Jesus, but he knew God. He knew there was a God, but he didn't know anything about God, but he was a tough guy. He ran his house a certain way, and when he said something, that's the way it was. He'd say, don't hang around those guys. I don't like those guys. And I'd say, why? They're good guys. They haven't done anything wrong. He says, no, they're gonna get in trouble, and you don't need to be around them. Don't hang around them. I'd rebel, you know, sneak out, go hang around them. Sure enough, we'd all get in trouble, and Dad would come and slap me upside the head, talk to me about things his way, which was the rod. And I want you to know something. I learned to respect my father that way. When I got older, I realized that my dad just loved me. He used to spank me and say, this is going to hurt more me than it is you. I never believed that until I had my own kids. It's so true. Today, my father's a long time gone on to be with the Lord, but I can say this to you. Thank God there was a father in the house that loved me enough to care for me, not let me play in the street when there's a truck coming, that cared for my well-being and my best in life. Some of you may not have had a father in your life, may not have had somebody who cared about you or loved you or guided you. Nobody was there for you. Maybe you don't understand about that father relationship. Here's what I've got to say to you. Get over it. You have a new father. He's in the heavens and he loves you more than the earthly father will ever love you. And may I say this to you? Listen to what I'm gonna say. And with him, the playing field is always level. So what you have missed out on doesn't have to stop from the benefits. Don't let your past control your future. Your future's in your father's hands who knows best. Is anybody listening today? When you finally get to that place where you realize that you're not as smart as God, you laugh, but you can't believe how many people make decisions on their own, do their own thing, want God to get involved in it, never check with God. Never communicate with God. Just hope God goes along with them. But I want you to know something. You're on the wrong road. You need to check with God. God will tell you. God will advise you. God will give you wisdom. You know why? Because he loves you more than you even know. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. Can I say something about this also? Think about this. Your father is the smartest there ever was on this planet and ever will be on this planet. He speaks in planets exist. Are you kidding me? He walks on water. He raises the dead. He opens the blind's eyes. I don't know about your earthly father. I don't think he did that. Guess what? He's a whole lot smarter than you will ever be. So you ought to be a person who's obedient because he's got your best interest at hand. Come on, somebody. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, go with me to Deuteronomy real quick in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. You're going to love this. In Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, and in verse number 29, the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, you see this passion of God coming out. This is God speaking in Deuteronomy 5:29. And it's so interesting. The very first word that comes up is this word, oh. God is speaking, oh. It's almost like a groan from inside of his heart towards you and towards me. It's almost like this bit of passion that comes out. When I heard that Deborah landed at LAX and she's coming home, I got so excited. I went, oh. And can I just say this to you? Listen to this. Here's God speaking this about you. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. Stop right there. Look back up at me. Obedience doesn't come out of following rules and regulations. That's religion. You can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. That's religion. Obedience comes out of the heart. And when it comes from the heart because you love him and know he's got your best interest at hand, and you want to please him with everything you do, all of a sudden obedience takes a new form and it catches the eye and the heart of God. So God makes this statement, oh, not that they would just do what I tell them to do. Oh, no. Oh, that they would have a what? Heart. Watch this. In them, that they would fear me. See the words fear me up there? Fear is an interesting word. He's talking about a two-sided coin. On one side, it's fear, like I'm afraid of God. Don't mess with God. God's going to get you, man. And trust me, may I say this to you? Don't mess with God. You ought to have a fear of God. Don't play games with him. Now listen to this. But the other side of the coin is respect and reverence. Like, oh my goodness, I'm in awe of his greatness. So he says that they would have a heart to so fear me that we would do something. Watch this. And always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them, that it might be well with them, that it might be well with them, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Did you know when you're obedient to God from your heart, that it not only affects you, but affects your heritage and your children's children forever? Oh my goodness sakes alive. That means you can break those family curses right there in a second. All those things, those generational things of the past, no longer does it have to happen. All you need to do is a person that realizes God is smarter than me and he has my best interest in hand and I will obey what he says, even though it strains me at times. It puts pressure on me, which brings us to number two. And I love number two. If you'll read it with me, this is what you should know about obedience. Listen closely. Things to know. Number two, true worship is obedience. And I don't mean that it's the only way of worship. True worship, I should even say on this way, best worship is obedience. A lot of people don't understand that. We've been trained in American churches to sing songs. You talk to people, they say, oh yeah, I'm in my church and I'm a song leader in my church and I lead worship in my church. And that's great. Don't misunderstand me. We need to do that. There's many times when we connect with God in what we call a song service or a worship service part of the service, you know, where we connect with God, we're touched by God, the tears run down our face because we're so connected with God. And, you know, I'm excited about that. And I think that's wonderful. But I don't want to stop at a song. I don't want to stop at a beat. I don't want to rely on a music sound to bring my heart before God. So the better, our best worship to God is when I hear what he has for me to do, and it may rub me the wrong way, but I do it anyway. That, my friends, is the best worship to God. Come on, somebody. Now, in order to show that to you, I'm going to take you back to Genesis in the 22nd chapter. So go there with me in Genesis 22nd chapter. Talk about Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham a little bit. And here we find that Abraham is doing something interesting. Let me set you up for this story so you can follow the story. Get this picture. It's kind of cool. Abraham is without a child, doesn't have his own child, has a lot of money, has a lot of blessings, has a lot of stock and, you know, sheep and goats and a lot of people working for him, servants, has everything God promised. He has an abundance of everything, huh? And except he doesn't have a child, which is very difficult in those days because all of that abundance goes to the firstborn male. All the blessings goes to the firstborn. He didn't even have firstborn male, didn't have anything. And now they're gotten up in years. His wife's name is Sarah. She's 90. He's 100 years old. And God calls them together and speaks to them. And he tells Sarah, you're going to have a child, you know, and she has a hard time buying that one. And he is close to 100 years old. And he says, you know, you're going to give Sarah, get her pregnant, and she's going to have a son, you know, and he's like exuberant I want you to know that in itself is a miracle. You could stop right there and never say anything else. As far as I'm concerned, if Deborah came back from Israel and she was pregnant, I'd shoot myself. I wouldn't be excited about it at all. You know what I'm saying? Get up, honey. It's your turn to change the diapers. I did that. I don't even like the grandkids over when they got diapers on, let alone my own. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so it's so he's 100 years old, and he's elated because he doesn't have a child. So all of a sudden, he has this child. His name is Isaac. And oh, man, he is like thrilled. He is so madly in love and proud of Isaac. My friends, listen to me. It's the most important thing in his life. More important than his sheep, more important than his goats, more important than anything else. It's everything. Now he fulfills the promise of God, and when he dies, he passes it all on to Isaac. He's probably proud like most dads, busting buttons, caring about Isaac, doing all those things that you do for a son you're in love with. And God speaks to him. And God says, I want you to take Isaac. I'll show you where to offer him. Offer him up as a burnt offering to me. Oh, my goodness. You don't know what that means. But let me tell you what a burnt offering is. That means you start a big fire and you take your sheep or your goat. In this case, it's going to be his son Isaac. Put it on the fire and burn him to ashes that there's nothing left of him. Oh my goodness, the one he loves, the one he's proud of. Now keep in mind, he doesn't know this God very well. He's just obedient to God. He doesn't have a Bible in his lap like you. He doesn't have thousands of years of examples before him that he could follow. He doesn't know that this God does not accept human sacrifice. It's an abomination to our God. He doesn't know that. And yet, he's going to follow. Let's pick it up, if you will, in Genesis 22nd chapter. I'll read to you out of verse number 1. And it came to pass that after these things, that God, and I love this next word, tested Abraham, tested. You and I will be tested with the things that we love. God will just test us to see if we'll be obedient. And I don't know about you, but I want to pass the test. I don't want to love anything more. I don't want to put any more value on anything except my God. My God I love the most. My God is the most valuable. And with Abraham, that's exactly the test he had to follow. Is it going to be Isaac, your son, or is it going to be the word of God? Man, none of us have ever been in a position like this, but this Abraham is going to follow through. Verse number 2. Then he said, take now your son, this is God speaking to Abraham, your only son Isaac, in whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I should tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and he went to a place which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place far off. And Abraham said to his young men that were with him, now watch this, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. True worship, the best worship, is connected with obedience. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. There is a law of studying the Word of God. It's called the law of first use. If you're a theologian, you understand what I'm talking about. The first time a word is used in the Bible is, now not always, but usually that is the description and that is the passage that carries the meaning of that word through the rest of the Bible. It's called the law of first use. The first time the word worship is ever spoken in the Bible is right here. Go yonder and worship. And it's connected with obedience. Someone might say to me, well, Pastor, maybe it's connected with the sacrifice that he was going to offer. And how I know that is because of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, probably verse number 22, where Samuel, the great prophet, is talking to King Saul, who had failed miserably before God. And King Saul is so frustrated, he's offering these burnt offerings and these offerings and these sacrifices before God. When Samuel walks in and sees King Saul doing that, he gets all angry and ticked off. And in verse number 22, he says, "What, you think that sacrifice is better than obedience? God doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience more than sacrifice." See, sometimes we'll sacrifice, but we won't be obedient. Let's take it down to our level. Some of you might have said to yourself, "I'll go to church today with you. I'll give up my time in the sun. I'll give up playing ball. I could have gone to the beach. And I'll go to church." And you think that sacrifice is doing something before God, when in fact the purpose of going to church is so you can learn about God on what's right and wrong. It's not about sacrifice as much as it is about obedience. And a lot of times we'll come and we'll sacrifice our time and we'll sacrifice our $5 and we'll sacrifice our own lifestyle, when in fact God wants us not for the little sacrifice we're offering on a Sunday, but to be obedient to His word. Because with a heart of obedience gets the attention and the blessings of God. And true best worship comes when I'm obedient to God, even in things that are frustrating to me. Don't you think it was frustrating to Abraham? Don't you think he was challenged? "Oh my goodness, who spoke that? Was that you, God? You want me to offer my son up? What is this all about? This is crazy. I'm in love with him. He's my whole life. He's my inheritance. Oh my goodness, this is what you promised me. Now I've got to put him on the altar." And if you know the story, he goes so far to tie his son up. Can you imagine his teenage son looking at his dad saying, "Dad, what are you doing?" He puts him on the wood. He's going to lift a knife to him and kill him and then burn him as a burnt offering. When God speaks and says, "Abraham, don't do that. I'll supply you a ram." And a ram that was caught in some thicket right there, he went and got the ram, cut his son loose, and offered that as a sacrifice. It's the first time in the Bible where you see God provision along with obedience. God provided the ram for the sacrifice, where he's called Jehovah Jireh. It's the first time ever. Now, may I say this to you? Along with obedience is worship. Along with obedience is the blessings, are the provisions of God. Which brings us to number three today. Things you need to know about obedience. Number three, I love this. Obedience brings blessings into your life. Isn't that weird? I thought hard work. Well, yeah, sure, you can't sit back, do nothing, and expect to get blessed. I thought, singing songs. I thought putting a cross around my neck would bring blessings. I thought, driving a car with a bumper sticker on it will bring me blessings. Can I tell you something? Get out of that stupid Christianity. That stupid Christianity been taught for 250 years the wrong thing about the way we have a relationship with God. And here's a relationship with God. Out of my heart, I want to serve God because He's smarter than me and has my best interest. Number two, when I serve God, man, that's real worship and it catches the heart of God. But number three, by obedience, because it comes from my heart, guess what happens? Brings blessings into my life. Until then, not gonna get the blessings. There's this guy named Moses, he's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, never gets there. Nope, sadly to say, never got there. Because the entire generation that he's leading is doubting God. They're not obedient to God at all. The entire generation had to die and their kids had to come up in order to be obedient. And when they came up, now they're ready to go into the promised land because God spoke, "This is yours." In other words, God wants to give you your own personal promised land, but it's gonna come through obedience. It's not gonna come by doing it your own way. And a guy by the name of Joshua is leading this new generation of people into the promised land because they know how to obey God. And God makes this statement in Joshua 1:8, right off the first bat, first chapter of Joshua, as he's telling Joshua what to do. In verse number 8, he says, "This book of the law," it's all they had in those days. We have a whole lot more today. this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. I don't know about you, but he's talking about this word of God, the things that God says that you're to be obedient. Can I ask you a question? If you don't know what to be obedient to, how can you be obedient to it? If you don't know how to be obedient, how can you be obedient? You will follow your flesh forever. You will follow the politicians forever. You will follow CNN. You will follow Fox. You will follow the Republicans. You will follow the Democrats. You will follow the independents, when in fact you should be a pedestrian and follow God. Come on, somebody. And he comes and he says, meditate it day and night. In other words, you're holding it somewhere inside of your heart, that you may observe and do according that is written in it. May I observe, because I know what it's all about, and do according to what God says. When you have to deal with your husband, here's how God says to deal with it. When you have to deal with your wife, here's how God says to deal with it. When you have to deal with those teenage kids, here's how God says to do it. Here's what God says on how you deal with your boss. Here's how God says to make an investment. Here's how God says to deal with prosperity. Here's what God says about this. When you understand all of this, may I say this to you, then you can be obedient to it. Until you understand it, you will never be obedient. You will just sit in church year after year, never change. And you wonder why? It's because you haven't gotten to the place in your life of, number one, realizing that God knows best. Number two, you haven't gotten into real worship by following God with obedience. And number three, realizing that your prosperity is going to come as you do and be obedient to the word of God. That's the first part of Joshua 1:8. But I like the last part of Joshua 1:8. Flip it up for me. For then, after you've meditated, after you thought about it day and night, after you know what to do, after you're doing it because you got a heart to do it, not some religious guy telling you to do it, but you have a heart to do it, it's coming from the inside of you. And then you will make your way prosperous. And then, not before, and then you will have good success. I don't know about you, but I want good success. I want to be prosperous. Now look, let's talk just for a moment. I'm not bragging to you. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been doing this for 50 years, 40 years as a senior pastor. Most of you aren't even that old. Let's talk. Grandpa needs to tell you the truth. You never had a grandpa ever tell you the truth. If you're going to live your life, live it for Jesus. Find out what the heck that word has to say, even though it doesn't fit with your feelings, even doesn't fit with your thinking, even though it doesn't fit with your plans. Man, I remember when we started this church, Debbie would cry all the time. I said, why are you crying? She said, oh, there's such a presence of God. I started crying too, but I was crying because I had to do it. I didn't want to be a pastor, but I had to be obedient. I had different plans. Who wants to be a pastor? You got to be kidding me. Meet people at the back door, tell you all kinds of crazy things. Hello, good to see you today, pastor. Shut up. I can hardly wait to slap you. I put up 40 years of that stuff. And then God says, you got to love them and stop talking that way and thinking that. And I said, okay, I got to be obedient to it. The point being is this, good success. All my kids serving God. Got 12 grandkids, they all want to be pastors. What's that all about? They all preach in the mirror. The little guys like this preaching in mirrors, singing psalms. My wife's nuts about me. Grandpa loves grandma. Grandma loves grandpa. There's no fighting going on. There's nothing going on. Well, there's something going on, but not as often as usual. You know what I'm talking about, huh? To the pure, all things are pure. You're bad. And so I want you to know I'm still in love. My kids are in love. My kids are serving God. My kids are preaching the gospel all over the place. What from? Because living testimonies, obedience to God. Guys, it's what you need from your heart. This will take you to levels you've never, ever dreamt of. And I believe next week's even going to get better. If you got something from God, give the Lord a great big praise. Hey, I just want to do this. Could I just pop up John, the 14th chapter, verse 23? Here's Jesus, New Testament. If anyone loves me, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I'm doing my own thing, but I love you, Jesus. I love you. I want you to get involved in what I'm doing. I love you,
Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
He says, if anybody loves me, I will get involved with you and do everything you want me to do, Jesus says. Is that what your Bible says? No. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the Father will come make a new home. You want a new home, a new life, new family? Guess what? That's what you need. It's right here. If you love him, you'll keep his word. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't that good?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.